All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Heading up an operation that you can find at upnorthnewswi.com or find us on Facebook at upnorthnewswi. Don't forget the WI. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, January 30th. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and coming up in this hour, the premiere of Motherhood Mondays. We will get to talk again to Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin. They were among the founders of Moms for Mandela. That's a group dedicated to helping explain last year's campaign issues to parents who are too busy to follow politics regularly. They helped bring us to Wisconsin's closest U.S. Senate race and nearly overcame work that got Ron Johnson reelected only through the tens of millions of dollars that billionaires had to put into the race to save Ron Johnson's hide. And rather than get discouraged and walk away, they have decided to continue finding ways to make important political matters more accessible to parents and others. They have renamed the group Motherhood for Good, and we will introduce their occasional Monday visits, series of guests, timely topics, and things like that. If you'd like to reach the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or you can call 844-967-2789. Or 715-388-7155. Aaron Zommers will take your call and get us back on the radio. And apparently the radio station headquarters down there on University Drive in Madison must be toasty warm if you're still in a t-shirt despite the below zero conditions around our part of Lake Wasota here. So did they gave you a couple of extra lumps of coal for the station stove?
Yeah, I've been just shoveling them in. That's why whenever I go off camera, I'm shoveling coal into the furnace. And unfortunately, the furnace is right behind the audio rack, so it gets really hot in here.
That's true. Yeah, you have mentioned that before. And that there's more than a little bit of equipment in there. And frankly, yeah, you're more at risk of some equipment, frying out than of getting too cold to operate.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, the furnace is not actually behind the audio rack for anybody who is concerned about that.
Yeah, I can just hear people not going, I don't think that was good placement. So we will talk about, Motherhood for Good coming up in just a little bit here. In sports, we already know that the Super Bowl is going to be Kansas City versus Philadelphia after the conference championships games yesterday. Bucks were winners against New Orleans last night. They will play Charlotte on Tuesday in Milwaukee. In college men's basketball, the Badgers have now lost six of their last seven after losing to Illinois on Saturday. Meanwhile, Marquette is now up to a 16th ranked in the nation and defeated DePaul on Saturday and will host Villanova on Wednesday. There's so much in the political headlines that we could be talking about today. Obviously, the Tyre Nichols video out of Memphis is large amongst them. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it in because you can either see it elsewhere or hear about it elsewhere. Count me in the category of those who frankly don't have to see the video. The descriptions of it are enough that I don't need to again give it another set of eyeballs. I think there's enough, and I trust the people who've seen it to describe it. I also know who not to trust, the people who have really been showing their true colors this weekend, saying vile things like, well, let's wait for the toxicology reports to come back and things. I mean, anything to plant a seed of doubt. I did wonder about the timing of releasing the video, on a Friday night. I felt like, was there somebody that was just goading, the community to be violent on a Friday night after seeing the video? The official response was that they wanted it to be released at a time when folks were home rather than having areas that were filled with workers or people on the road or what have you. Again, I don't know that I, necessarily would go along with that, but just these are the explanations that are being given. The fact of the matter is there's not a lot of trust out there, not just trust toward police, but trust toward media outlets. If there were more trust in media outlets from a widespread standpoint, maybe it wouldn't have been released publicly. Maybe we again would have been able to trust media sources to get it right and show excerpts rather than have to subject ourselves to the entire murder of this man at the hands of police. And how do we advance this? I mean, we saw the Rodney King video and we thought maybe things would get better after that. We saw George Floyd get murdered, and maybe some people thought it would get better there, especially if you could pass real police reform. But as we saw from Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature, they created a task force, but it was by design meant to do as little as possible. It was actually Up North News that broke the story originally, finding an email involving Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the then chair of the commission, acknowledging that they wanted this task force to, you know, basically do the bare minimum in terms of police reform. And that's exactly what Wisconsin Republicans did. Still out there in Congress is the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. It would limit qualified immunity policies that protect officers accused of misconduct. It would create a national registry of sustained disciplinary actions against officers so they can't just bounce from department to department. And it would ban chokeholds and limit no-knock warrants, among other things. But it's always easier to hide behind a badge. It's easier for a politician to wrap themselves in the flag and talk about law and order rather than acknowledging that you can be pro-public safety and be against bad police officers and outdated training. More after this on Up North News Radio. If you go over to upnorthnewswi.com, stories include telling you how the elections in February and April will impact your life for the next 10 years. That's how long a term is for a state Supreme Court justice. And also, are you middle class? Back in 1971, 61% of Americans were considered middle class. Nowadays, it's more like 50%. You can read about that definition of middle class, or you can share your own. That's our question of the week. What's your definition of middle class in the United States? Head to the Up North News Facebook post that has the video feed of this fine radio show and give us your thoughts in the comment section. Also still ahead this hour, Terry Bell with the three things you should know to get your week started. Remember, if you ever miss one of our programs, we are not just a radio show. We are a podcast. Each hour of the show is here on Civic Media. Each hour is turned into its own separate podcast. And if you go to civicmedia.us, you will see the list of all of our recent shows. You can click on those to listen like a podcast, or you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and listen to the shows that you either catch here on the radio or that you can't hear on the radio and that you want to follow and say, hey, I need to know what's going on with this guy. Some shows are on all of them, Mike, like the Paul Revere show with Mark Thompson. That will be on tonight at 7 o'clock. And so look for that. And again, civicmedia.us has all of that. We were talking about the Tyree Nichols video, also the Paul Pelosi video that was released on Friday as well. In both cases, violent actions that had to be exposed to viewers. I know in some cases, like, you know, restaurants will put on, you know, TVs and then, you know, not monitor them, you know, restaurants and bars and things. And there were reports of, you know, families out to dinner and, you know, this comes on the TV. And it's just a reminder that we put the box on and sometimes forget that there needs to be some monitoring. Just because something is on a news channel doesn't mean it's always going to be appropriate. And sometimes things call themselves news channels and they aren't news channels at all. The New York Times has a very good example of all of the ways that right-wing media took the Paul Pelosi attack and lied about it, basically, or speculated in ways that weren't helpful at all. It's just a reminder that even when something is right in front of us on video, we may not know the whole story, and we have to wait for everything to come out before we go shooting off our mouths. There are things that we do know about, which takes us to state politics and Governor Evers and a new state budget. When Governor Evers gave his State of the State address, we knew what he stood for. He's telling you right there. And then in his budgets, and again in his budget address that he will give in just about 2 weeks here, he will tell you what he stands for. And he will put a dollar amount on those things, saying this is where I believe the state of Wisconsin should be going. On the other hand, we hear from people like Senate Republican leader Devin Lemahieu, who said over the weekend, quote, Governor Evers should give a vision of what he wants to meet the state's challenges. Instead, he's just talking about spending money. Well, as one of my favorite folks on Twitter, Jake Edwards, puts it, that's how he's trying to meet the challenges, doofus. You think they get solved by magic? Again, Jake's words. Again, you attach money to it. You attach a commitment, and the governor's willing to say that. And what we're saying to Madison Republicans and to Republicans in Washington, D.C., is now you put a dollar amount on the thing that you value and tell us what you would cut, because you always talk about the need to cut spending. You talk about waste, fraud, and abuse as if it's a line in the budget. Tell us where you would cut it, how you would cut it, so that the people who are affected by those cuts would get a chance to weigh in and maybe help you see the value of things before you go ahead and take food off of people's tables, for example. In another example of this, it was pointed out that somebody from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce put up a post about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and basically said, you know, we know the importance. The Supreme Court's going to be controlled 4-3, either by conservatives or progressives after the April 4th election. And this person from WMC saying, you know, Democrats are just trying to basically get it so that only four people can make all the decisions for a democracy. Well, what do you think it was when there were four conservatives that were making the decisions to get rid of COVID safeguards, to get rid of drop boxes, and in other ways to attempt to undermine democracy or public safety? Look, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has made a nice cottage industry out of helping Republicans gerrymander the legislature and have far too much control over policy in proportion to the rest of the population. You have a population that has 70-80% or at least 65% plus favorability on things like a woman's right to choose what to do with her body, gun safety, legalized marijuana, either for medicinal or all purposes. In all those cases, though, you have a state legislature that says, well, we don't really see a pathway to getting those things passed. Well, of course not, because you represent less than 50% of Wisconsin voters. And yet you have 65% of the members in the Assembly and Senate because of the way that you were able to rig the maps. And so if the Wisconsin Supreme Court is controlled by progressive justices by a 4-3 margin after this April, yes, there will be a reexamination of things like gerrymandered maps and like the state's 1849 abortion ban. These things are going to be reexamined because they are more in line with Wisconsin values and with, you know, Wisconsin voters and what they want. And so, again, I say that if you have not applied for your absentee ballot yet, you can do so by going to myvote.wi.gov. And in doing so, you can request an absentee ballot for the February 21st primary, as well as for the April 4th general election. And again, if you don't want to do that, just make sure you go vote that day. Because while we haven't seen the onslaught of ads yet, it's coming. You will real soon. And on top of that, you know, Republicans in the legislature are trying to put their thumb on the scale by putting a referendum on the ballot related to welfare benefits, asking You know, should able-bodied childless adults be required to work for their welfare benefits? And they want people to go, well, yeah, of course they should. So they go to vote in that, and then they might vote for the conservative candidates for justice too, which is why it's so important to let people know that referendum is basically fake. That requirement is already on the books. It is a sham question, totally meant to generate and gin up voter turnout. It is, quite frankly, an abuse of the referendum process to ask for something that already exists as a way to gin up voters. I mean, at least in past years, like I think of 2006, for example, the constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage in Wisconsin that Republicans put up, it was, the referendum was successful, but it was unsuccessful in stemming off, you know, a blue wave that elected people like me to the legislature back then. But at least there you had a constitutional amendment, something of substance for people to vote on, not something as, you know, basically as fraudulent as what we have going on here, asking a welfare benefits question that already doesn't exist. So keep that in mind as you're letting people know about the importance of getting out to vote. And in fact, there will be an event this Thursday. This will be in Madison. This will be at the Rigby in downtown Madison. I don't have a street address in front of me, but if you're listening on our Madison radio station, I'm sure you're aware of it. And the whole point of it being put on by the Minocqua Brewing Company is to generate interest in taking up a volunteer shift as part of the state Supreme Court election. There will be live music from Tony Castaneda's Latin Jazz Band. People will be encouraged, though not required, to show a screenshot that you volunteered to work on behalf of either of the two progressive candidates for Supreme Court. That's the whole point, getting everyone to tell their friends and neighbors about the importance of voting. The Minocqua Brewing Company Facebook page has links to the volunteer signup sites for the two progressive candidates, Milwaukee Judge Janet Protasiewicz, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. The party itself is not affiliated with nor endorsed by either judge's campaign. And again, while the, you know, a party is a good idea, we shouldn't need to entice you to spread the word about voting on both February 21st and April 4th. So you'll want to make sure and do that. I think I got to the men's college basketball. I didn't update you on the women, the Badger women, not having a great season right now. They defeated Northwestern on Sunday. They will host number 2 Ohio State on Wednesday. And I believe they are 8-14 and 3-7 in the conference in the Big Ten. The Marquette women beat Butler on Sunday, 65-63. They are 5th in the Big East, and they will take on Villanova on Wednesday. You know what I don't have in front of me is Badger hockey, so I'll have to look that up. I was at a hockey game over the weekend. It's just that it was the Minnesota Wild. We snuck over to the Twin Cities and got to watch an NHL game for the first time in a while. And again, this won't be as relevant to folks living in the, you know, eastern two-thirds of the state, but folks in the, on the western part of it will know, they'll remember the Minnesota North Stars. Aaron, you're probably even too young. Did the Minnesota North Stars must have moved to Dallas before you were actually following hockey to any degree.
I was not following hockey to any degree, so I wouldn't even know.
So the Minnesota North Stars were a long time existence in the NHL and had these classic kind of Kelly green and yellow jerseys. And then the owner was accused of some bad things, and he packed up the team and shipped them off to Dallas, and they became the Dallas Stars and have been that way ever since. Eventually, Minnesota did land an expansion franchise. They named it the Wild. They gave them some new colors, a new logo. But I have to say that for anybody that follows the NHL and certainly remembers the North Stars, it's been so satisfying to see that this year, the Minnesota Wild, they have the same logo, but they've adopted the old Minnesota North Stars colors. So if you're out there watching them skate, it's almost like you're watching a North Stars game again, which is nice. I'm one of those that does like throwback uniforms. What I don't like, and maybe this is where, again, Aaron being younger than me, maybe you prefer instead of the throwback uniforms, is what's called the color rush. uniforms, or there's other alternative jerseys that are like practically neon in color?
No, I'm with you on this with the throwback ones. A lot of the new ones, like I think it was the Bears, I mean, obviously this isn't hockey, but the Bears had new uniforms with the colors, mm-hmm. and it was just disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, the football ones, the football color rush ones. And I forget who does that. It's one of the, it's Nike or Under Armour or somebody. And it's just, I think we need to stop that.
It's garish at best.
We don't need that. We, you know, throwback unis, nice to have once in a while. All right, let's take a little time out before we come back and talk about motherhood for good and keeping people informed on the issues, no matter how busy they might be in their day-to-day lives. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Look, we all like to win whenever we can, but there's a lot to be said for how you come back from adversity, because we all have setbacks. And in talking to Kristen Lyerly in the last hour, we talked about how she came back and stayed involved after falling short in her assembly race. I know this guy, this doofus who ran for Congress, he didn't win, but eventually ended up hosting a radio show. And now get to talk to more people who, again, deal with little setbacks and say, well, you know what? Let's try this approach instead. And that's exactly what Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy are doing with a group that had been Moms for Mandela that is now known as Motherhood for Good, to keep things, keep issues in front of busy parents and others, keep things relevant, and help show people the importance of civic engagement. And now, having stolen all of their thunder, let's introduce, as we will every other Monday or so, Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us, Pat.
Oh, no, thank you for, like I said, for staying involved. And your description on your Instagram page says, informing, empowering, and mobilizing moms to get involved in progressive political advocacy. And again, you'll find that on Instagram at Motherhood for Good. We don't have to dwell on the election results for very long, but we should start with it, because obviously we had the closest U.S. Senate race in 100 years here. Mm-hmm. It didn't go exactly how you'd like. But can you tell us about the discussions that eventually led you to say, okay, here's what we're going to do next? Because I'm sure that wasn't right on the top of your mind, you know, in, say, mid-November.
Yeah, it wasn't, but it was certainly a quick afterthought, and people kept wanting to talk about what came next. This grew into something beyond what I think we had initially thought. We initially started this, what we thought was just an Instagram account called Moms for Mandela, to support Mandela Barnes in the U.S. Senate race, particularly because, well, we knew it was a really critical election, not only for the state, but for the country. And I, at least, was having conversations with a lot of good friends, a lot of other moms, about kind of what was going on. It was at a time where it was a really horrific time with mass shootings and obviously the overturning of Roe. And a lot of other friends were, you know, upset about what was going on. But at the same time, I particularly had friends who were saying, you know, understanding and having the same feelings, but also saying at the same time that they don't really follow politics or they don't understand politics. So we initially started this as a way to kind of bridge that gap and kind of cover stories that were happening politically through a parental lens and let them know, okay, here's what's happening. Here's how we kind of break it down in a friendlier way. And this is why it's so important. And this is why certain elections are so important. And soon enough, we had people kind of sharing the content and wanting to get involved. And it turned into much more than an Instagram account, obviously. Then we had a lot of people kind of all over the ground in a lot of different regions around the state doing things and getting mobilized to kind of help this election. So when the election was over, although it did not go the way we wanted, we had so many people who kind of had a fire lit inside of them and still wanted to do more. I think the way we spoke about the issues and the things that were happening really resonated. and people wanted to keep going. And obviously in politics, there's always going to be another election. There's always going to be policy news going on. There's always going to be legislation that we can keep pushing. So we started Motherhood for Good to kind of keep that going. And I think the really cool thing about the community that we've built here is that so many of the people have never been involved in politics before. Mm-hmm. So we're all kind of have banded together and are going to keep
included. Kate, how often do we go, never done this before? Okay, let's figure it out.
100% us included. Yes.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Well, Nicole, that's because the issues involved. Look, when you say politics to somebody, especially a busy mom, you can certainly understand why people's eyes glaze over. Mm-hmm. But when you help them understand that by politics, we mean the safety of your children in school from gun violence, or your reproductive health care rights, or your health care options, the affordability of your child care, the expanded child tax credit that existed last year, but that Republicans, fought against, so it's not there this year. Caring for aging parents at the same time you're caring for young children. All of these things are under politics because there are people in Washington, D.C. and Madison who can make decisions that literally affect either, your money or your lifestyle. And so, Nicole, you've got no shortage of issues to talk to folks about on Mondays.
Absolutely. I'm raising a non-binary child as well. And I'll tell you that it's so important. Parenthood is political. Kate had come up with that great phrase, but it's so true. It reaches everything that we're doing. And moms don't have an option to not participate in that, right? Like, even if you say you're not political, the decisions you're making for your family, the ways that you're trying to provide and create this secure, safe environment for your kids, that's political in today's environment. It just is. So like Kate was saying, it is this idea of, hey, how can we talk about things or break down topics like the upcoming Supreme Court election? What exactly is it? How does it work? Why does your vote actually matter? How is this differing from a normal election? Things like that, if you don't spend the time looking at it, you don't have time. You're lucky if you can get the kids ready for school and out the door on time and go to work yourself. So.
And that's why if you look at the Instagram page for Motherhood for Good, you will see a one graphic that says, what's up with the Wisconsin Supreme Court? And then just gets right to it. Another is a video that says, get to know your lawmakers, which again is kind of civic engagement 101. Is if you're going to want to try to change things in politics, you really should know who is representing you. And then there's obviously things that you can advocate for that you talk about. And some of these are graphics, some of them are videos, but basically you have found a way, Kate, to take social media and make it both informative, but also it's got to catch your eye. Otherwise you're going to miss the message.
Yeah. I mean, social media is kind of like the new public square, right? I think everybody needs to understand that, like, you do not have to be an influencer. Everybody has influence with the connections and friends that they already have. And so if we can make like friendly, easy, digestible content and information about these really important issues, I think people are more likely to share them with their networks. And then, the more they share them, then other people share them and we can get the word out faster. Also, we're trying to break down the whole taboo of not talking about politics. I feel like in the past, it's been either not polite or not right to bring it up. And as Nicole talked about earlier, it's so intertwined with everything we do in our lives, especially as parents. And we're trying to just advocate for ways to bring it up, not in combative ways to your friends or to circles, but just like informative ways and start encouraging people to become more comfortable bringing those conversations up at playgroups or at the playground or school pickup or things like that. And sometimes it is just those little conversations just for a couple minutes that really get people start thinking.
And it gives you some of the substance of not just the issue, but what could be done on it. Past posts of yours have talked about what Michigan is doing, what Illinois is doing, to say that, there are solutions out there, Nicole, and that they are within reach if we have either leaders willing to go for it or neighbors willing to advocate for it.
Yeah, I think going back to what we were talking about earlier when we were Moms for Mandela, what we learned very quickly is, once you get out of your comfort zone and start talking to the people in your, whatever your little sphere is, they're open to it. We mm-hmm. realized very quickly, I connected with women that I would have never met otherwise. some come from homes where their spouse might vote, you know, more on the conservative side. And they have all these feelings like, oh, geez, like this really is affecting my life. And who can I connect with? It doesn't have to be this big political statement. You can just connect and start making change and giving people a reason to show up and care and vote, or, you know, organize and have those conversations with their friends and family as well. Yeah. And I think that grassroots part, that is where it starts. That is, you know, it isn't just advertisements and TV shows and mailers that, you know, we've gotten more than enough of those here in Wisconsin, I think, over the past 6 months. it's those conversations with the people that you know that matter to you. And they're not always going to agree. And that's okay, too. But I think it's the fundamental idea that most of us care and most of us feel the same way on most issues. Not everybody, but there are more of us, and giving us a voice and realizing locally there are people around you who feel that way.
Let's get specific on something that's coming up related to the state Supreme Court. And also, by the way, these spring elections help decide local things like city councils and school boards. And school board elections are going to be extremely important. We saw last time around how many conservative groups have been mobilizing to basically take over school districts. And I think we're going to talk more about that this week. But there was a post as well that you have letting people know about the connections between conservative candidate Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro and a group, Moms for Liberty. And we've talked briefly once before about Moms for Liberty, but I think it's got to get mentioned more that, again, it's one of those apple pie sounding names, Kate, that there's much more that people should know about this group.
Yeah. And Moms for Liberty popped up, I think, just in 2020. And honestly, they've grown substantially just in the couple of years that they've been active. They obviously have some really big funding coming from the right. And just like you said, Pat, yeah, they say that they are for parental rights and things like this that sound great in theory, but you kind of dig a little bit more into it and you realize they are more for, you know, privatizing education, taking some dollars away from public education and kind of limiting the curriculum that kids are exposed to. They are very in favor of banning books and things like that. And they've gotten a lot of moms mobilized on the more conservative side, very conservative side, I would say, to infiltrate school boards. And they've done this really quickly. And we're seeing it happen all over the place, definitely all over Wisconsin. And it's definitely a more complex issue we're digging into because, you know, it's not just a statewide election. These are every single district has different things going on. And so that's where our community is really going to come into play, too. And we look to people who are our followers and in our community to kind of flag us to what's going on in their own communities. But certainly those school board elections are so, so critical. And they don't get as much visibility as some of the some of the elections that are higher on the ticket. But they're really important and so impactful to kids and families.
And as you note in the post, and we've said as well, you can think that Judge Doro did an admirable job presiding over the Daryl Brooks Waukesha Christmas Parade trial. But at the same time, you know, think of her as not fit to represent the people of Wisconsin on the Supreme Court based on her stated values and other things that she would bring to such an important post. It's about so much more than simply presiding over one trial. And I think that's a lot of what you're going to be working on, Nicole, over the next few weeks is explaining, you know, the relevance of a state Supreme Court to people's real lives.
Absolutely correct. And I think just the idea, too, that the registering to vote, getting out there and voting, all of those things like that, that is integral to the success of what happens. It's going to be the only real way to kind of temper the Moms for Liberty work that's going on and everything else at that state Supreme Court really, really matters. And understanding why, like, how did we get here? How does this election work? The primary is going to really set the stage for what comes next. And I think people really aren't prepared for how quickly those advertisements and everything is going to really hit, I think, post-primary. But really breaking down what is happening in this election, how does your vote make a difference, all of those things. We try and do our best to kind of disseminate that in a way that helps people understand it and then, you know, make that decision to get out and vote.
And try to have a little fun along the way. Yes, these are serious issues, and we're going to have some serious conversations. But along the way, too, some of these posts and videos that you're doing at Motherhood for Good will remind us of the lighter side of advocating for certain issues. There's a post that simply says, long naps, quick paps, and fair maps. Where'd that come from?
Oh, yeah. These things just pop into my head.
Wonderful.
Was that you?
Yes, but also like we try to bring some levity into things because these are really important issues, yes. But also we're trying to have some fun, make some connections along the way. It's not all serious business. So we do try to have some fun.
You have to have a sense of humor, Pat. It's just too much. Well,
again, being married to an OBGYN, if I put that on a button, I think she just might wear that somebody would like to wear that on their lab coat.
Yeah, we might need to do that.
Yeah, long naps, quick paps, and fair maps. Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin, so great to see you, talk to you. We'll look forward to making this a regular thing every other Monday or so.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be back.
All right.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Three Things You Should Know with Terry Bell coming up after this. You're up north. Well, if you're hearing the old 97s, it means Terry Bell isn't far away. The Three Things You Should Know coming up in just a bit. First, a call from Jake who wants to remind us. We said a few things about the candidates for state Supreme Court. We didn't talk much about their educational background, but Jake has a reminder for us. Jake, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody that the two Republicans running for that seat, including Judge Jennifer Doro, both got their law degrees from the same place, from the Christian Broadcasting Network. That's right. That's Pat Robertson's fake little fraudulent law school, Regent University, that he set up as a scam. And actually, I don't understand how the Republicans can't find at least one candidate that didn't get their law degree from Pat Robertson.
It is odd. And I'm glad, Jake, you called and put in that reminder, because, again, well, there's a lot to say about issues, but also about, you know, the background that leads to those issues. And so it's important to note. So thank you again. Terry Bell joins us from the Civic Media Newsroom. Three things to know for this weekend. Terry, I talked about going to see a hockey game over the weekend.
Hey.
Last night, I went to go see A Man Named Otto with Tom Hanks.
How was
highly
it?
Highly recommended. It's one of those where the previews can't come close to telling you really what's in the movie, and I don't want to, you know, do a spoiler alert. I will just say it was worth it. I'm not going to say it was, you know, a top 10 movie of all time, but definitely a very entertaining, you know, bring along a Kleenex. You're probably going to need it, but still, you get a few laughs in there as well. So I recommend it. How was your weekend?
It was very nice, very low key. I have a side hustle as a college instructor, and I spent a lot of time grading papers, which is as much fun as it sounds.
it sounds like it, but at least you got to do that. And then somewhere along the line, got to line up three things you need to know for the week. Where are you starting things off here?
Well, we'll start with our caller just mentioned the Supreme Court. There've been a couple of developments on that. Last week, we found out through Dan Bice's column that Jennifer Doro's son apparently is alleged to have sold the Percocet that was apparently laced with fentanyl that looks like killed a young man from Wanakee, a UW-Milwaukee student.
And, yeah, we talked about that on Friday morning. And, and the you and I both know, we both worked at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. We both have come up through the ranks in how many journalism courses over the years. And the things you have to wrestle with whether to run a story or not, the holes, the gaps that you want to fill in. We still don't know, for example, you know, A, to the degree Doro's son was involved, B, was he the person that sold, you know, something, or was it somebody else? Was it Percocet with fentanyl, what have you? But on the other hand, if you wait for everything to be done, if you wait for the entire police investigation, well, by the time you know that, the voters may have already decided whether Jennifer Doro is the right choice for them for the court. So, you know, again, it's not something where you envy the news editors, but you should at least share what you have so that voters can, not that they should jump to conclusions. They shouldn't necessarily connect dots, but they should know about the dots that are out there.
And as Judge Doro is quick to point out, her son is not the one running for office. So, you know, maybe his mistake should not reflect on her. And, you know, maybe they should not. That is something for the voters to suss out.
Right.
It is out there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all for the state Supreme Court race. Meanwhile, you track occasionally the Marquette poll. There's not just the state one you hear about at election time, but also they do things on a national basis, and they frequently like to follow what the public thinks of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one. So we're seeing actually the approval rating for the U.S. Supreme Court go up. Tell you why that's interesting. First of all, the poll was done early to mid-January. 1,000 people responded. 47% of respondents approve of the Supreme Court. Now, the majority still disapprove, but the 47% approval rating is up from 38 in July when the Dodd decision was coming down. And the interesting thing is that the biggest group among those driving the increase in approval is Democrats, which is very interesting because the court has done nothing since July. So it's curious as to why the court would go up in the estimation of Democrats, even though they just come off a very unpopular ruling, and two, they haven't done anything differently since then. If I were a Democratic operative, I'd be a little bit concerned about that.
Maybe, although I think I would also add my takeaway from it is, okay, twice is a trend. What is the next poll going to say? Because you and I both know that, polls are a snapshot at one point in time, and the next poll could show us something entirely different. It is a little interesting to see it come off the bottom post-Dobbs. And yet, I don't know how often they do this, if it's monthly or quarterly, where they really track approval of the U.S. Supreme Court, but I will be more than a little interested to see what that is. So that's thing number two. Thing number three is something that we're going to follow at Up North News, and I'm sure you like to talk about food as well at the radio place. There are some semifinalists based in Wisconsin for the James Beard Awards, which are the awards that go to chefs who make good stuff. And let's see, I don't know how many there are total in front of me. I just know that we've got semifinalists for best new restaurant in the country. We've got national semifinalists for outstanding restaurateur. We've got a semifinalist for emerging chef, a semifinalist for outstanding pastry chef or baker, best chef in the Midwest. These are things that I don't know that a James Beard award-winning chef cooks in Chippewa Falls at all, but we still have some pretty good cooks just the same. But boy, if you get a chance to either enjoy the work of a Beard award-winning chef or a Michelin star, why wouldn't you once or twice? That meal's got to be pretty good.
I think this development speaks very well of, I think this is some recognition of what's happening in Wisconsin in the farm-to-table movement, and that has really made Wisconsin a magnet for chefs who've been plying their trade in places like New York and Chicago and whatnot, who maybe have gotten tired of the big city hustle, but still want to be at the top of their game, and they like being close to the sources of their food. So, you're seeing, every place, it doesn't just have to be Madison and Milwaukee. I mean, one of the most famous restaurants in Wisconsin right now is in Viroqua and the Driftless Cafe. So it just goes to show, I'll bet you, and just about anywhere in Wisconsin, whether you live in a population center or maybe in a area that caters to tourism, you're probably not a terribly far drive from a restaurant of this caliber. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a very good thing, and I am happy to add more things to my foodie bucket list around Wisconsin, as it were. Terry Bell has news updates that you hear throughout the day here on the radio stations of Civic Media. Thanks so much for sharing three things we need to know to get our week started, Terry. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
All right. Coming up next, Earl Ingram's in Waukesha, Oshkosh and Green Bay, Stephanie Miller in Madison, Todd Alba in Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory along the Civic Media Radio Network. You can follow me on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow Up North, or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. And again, the work that our team does is over at upnorthnewswi.com. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning at 6:00.